From all corners of the globe to your ears, it's the Midnight Movie Cowboys. Sometimes informative, sometimes controversial, but always unpredictable. It's the Midnight Movie Cowboys podcast with your hosts, Hunter, John, and Stu. And now, on with the show.
Oi, welcome to the Midnight Movie Cowboys.
This is Hunter Deucing, as always. Well, not always. I wasn't here a few recently. But in Dallas, Texas, joining me in Australia, in the scorched desert of the outback, in the Yabba, we have Stuart Balk. Say hello, Stu.
Yeah, scorched desert my ass. It's pissing down rain the last 3 days.
He's in Melbourne, you know, but whatever. Just trying to paint a picture for the audience, you know. Theater of the mind. It's radio. Podcast. You know?
I'm actually out in Wadi.
Yeah. He's out there hanging out with a bunch of based abos listening to metal.
And Billy Idol for life, bitches. Okay.
Billy Idol for life, bitches, okay. In the Rocky Mountain High of Colorado, we have the beekeeper, Mr. John Gray. Say hello, John.
Us, everybody.
Oi, you're Nick Sunshine.
So the movie we're talking about today is Sweeney. I say it like that because it has a exclamation point at the end.
Yes. And not the one with Ray Winston, I believe it is.
No, we're not doing not the 2012 one.
Yeah.
I couldn't get through that. I tried.
I heard it was really bad.
So have I haven't.
This one's from 1977.
Yeah. The real Sweeney, basically.
Yeah, it's directed by David Wicks, starring John Thaw, Dennis Waterman, Ian Bannon, bunch of people I've never fucking heard of. I'm going to be that guy.
Okay, have you ever heard of Dennis Waterman or John Thaw before this?
No, I the only thing I knew about the Sweeney was I heard about it when the Ray Winstone one was coming out, and so I was aware that it's an old TV show. That's about it.
God, I used to watch this back in the 70s when it was on.
It was never shown in the U.S., too. It's not known here at all.
Yeah, that's what I've said before. Over here, we had an advantage. We had, international shows, British and American. So we covered the spectrum, basically. Whereas you guys were really, really struggling to put British ones on your channels, except for what? UHF ones, you said?
Some UHF channels. I've heard of shows like, supposedly The Professionals got a tryout on a New York station like in the 70s or early 80s. I don't know how true that is, but I heard that there were some New York stations that would show some of these series like Department S and Jason King, but they didn't get like network airings like all across the country.
Did you guys ever get Man in a Suitcase over there?
Yeah, Man in a Suitcase played here. That was actually on a network.
Okay.
That was a network show. What's his name? Richard Bradford was the star. So at least they could sell it with an American lead. And that's the only reason ITC would use American actors, was to guarantee a sale. And I have seen a season of The Sweeney, like a fourth or fifth season. And I realized watching it, it was just too British for American TV. It's selling an idea of England that would not attract tourism. So, and also it's just gritty and it's kind of based in British working class culture, and that just doesn't sell to America that wants that fantasy they see in the Avengers or the Saint, you know.
And I will say, I was thrown for a loop a little bit because I thought The Sweeney was a comedy. I did not know it was this serious, kind of gritty cop.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I didn't. I mean, because heard about the one with Ray Winstone, I heard him on Mark Kermode's show back when I listened to that. And it seemed kind of goofy, I guess. It seemed like a buddy cop thing.
Yeah.
I never saw their movie, but that's kind of what the vibe I got from their movie, which I never saw.
So you thought it was going to be like Lethal Weapon before Lethal Weapon?
Well, I thought it was going to be kind of a British buddy cop thing. And I was watching it and I was like,
this ain't very funny.
I know. I was like, when's the humor coming? There's this chick getting stabbed with drugs and stripped,
yeah.
and
yeah.
there's like all this geopolitics. I was like, where's the funny? Where is it?
And this
I was
is
like,
funny. This it's funny. Actually funny if you're in Britain. It's hysterical, but just yeah, American audiences ain't picking up on it. That's all.
And I was sitting there going, this is like a William Friedkin thing. Okay.
Yeah, which is funny because it's very popular comedians in England, because I know Little Britain brought out Dennis Waterman out on an episode or a live show or something. Like, that was like a big deal.
Yeah.
But I had no clue who he was. I hadn't seen The Sweeney at that time and I wasn't aware of it.
Well, you obviously were never aware of Minder, which came after Sweeney.
Right. You sent me a link to that and I was curious about
it.
Oh,
Minder was...
It has an...
That was...
Yeah, it has an American release.
Massive. Like, this show was massive over here. With,
really?
It actually, I think it made Dennis Waterman more of a bigger star.
It probably was.
Yeah, and especially more well known over here than Sweeney was big over here, from what I understand. Minder was just massive, and it was like it was always on, once a week on commercial television, and because the pairing of Dennis Waterman and George Cole was just, I think, one of the best on television I have ever seen. Of any show, it's just outstanding, and that Hunter, if you're looking for a show with humor and drama, that's Minder, or a Sweeney's more just drama. Yeah, with little sprinklings of humor in there, not much.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think Minder might be more up your alley. But it's very, very late 70s, early 80s British,
Yeah.
But
okay.
Well, Minder, I should say to our viewers, Minder is available on Amazon.com in American domestic. Release each season is like $10, so it's not that much.
Yeah, over here we've got one complete box set of about, what was it, 30 discs or something. I might be wrong. I'm probably way off of my numbers, but at one point they had to go for $60 for the set, but now it jumped up to about $100. I thought, oh fuck, it must have been a promotional price at the time. It must have been a new release.
Otherwise, also in America, the Sweeney is on DVD in America, but there's a much financially better deal to get the UK DVD set, which is, and this is referring to the TV series, not the movie we're going to talk about, but there's a 14 DVD box set, and it's equivalent to about $40 American if you buy it on Amazon.com.
On the Trump dollar, right?
Yeah. I want that Brexit dollar to go down.
Brexit dollar.
Collect all these ITV shows. There's a lot of ITV shows and other series that I want to get on DVD and have shelved, because they're not going to be on our streaming services, not even on this new BritBox channel that I've heard about, which sounds like it's all BBC, and that wasn't the only network in the UK at the time. There was London Weekend Television, and there were other Thames Broadcasting and everything. It's like there's other companies that have a lot of product that I've never seen that I always hear is great.
Yeah.
As our British sitcom episode kind of brought up, there's a lot of stuff that most Americans are not aware of.
No, because you guys live in a bubble.
Yeah, no, we're slaves to what PBS wants to show us in the 70s and 80s,
Yeah.
They decided what to do.
We're Ameriburgers over here,
Yeah.
We only consume what our media overlords feed us.
You're under the impression there's only one show that ever came out of Britain, which was Monty Python's Flying Circus.
Yeah. Which, keep in mind, that actually started its popularity when a PBS station in Texas ran it. That's when it caught on.
Yeah, I remember Jedi Cole telling me that as well. It was
I think it was like the Dallas PBS or something, but they actually started airing it, and that's what created the attention for it.
Well, in Texas here, we're just ahead of the curve on stuff, And as far as Ameriburger land goes,
That's
and
right.
Even Elvis was a huge Monty Python fan.
Yeah,
John Cleese was one funny ass bastard.
He was so entertained, he shot a television when he watched it.
That was his way of appreciating the show. Yeah.
If Elvis shot a TV, he was enjoying himself. Contrary to popular belief, people thought it was because, Johnson was on TV or something. No. It was because he was showing his appreciation,
Yeah.
Hey, I got a question. Was Elvis woke?
Elvis was woke AF,
Oh, really?
He was slash our guy, slash,
Nice. All right. But anyway, this is a request this episode from our friend Liverpool, Anthony Nesbitt, the man who gets banned by Zuckerberg, his arch nemesis. I hit Anthony up and go, "Oh, you're back," and he goes, "Oh yeah, for now." So I'll be gone in a few times. I'll be gone shortly.
it does not stop him from, you know, offending Mark Zuckerberg.
No. And then he's like sitting a few rows back from Daniel Craig at a soccer game.
I think he's been banned from more things than Milo Yiannopoulos and Ricky Vaughn, you know? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, but that, anyway, this is Anthony gave a nice contribution a number of weeks back, and I said, "Listen, man, I've got nothing to give you. What request you want?" And he said, "Sweeney." I'm like, "Perfect." I didn't have the films at the time, nor the TV show, but I knew they were available out here. And then, sure enough, I go into a store on a Sunday, maybe about 3 weeks back, and there in the DVD section, all sealed up, was the two Sweeney films for $8. I'm like, "Oh, this is too good." So I picked it up, along with a still-sealed copy of the C-Lab 2021 series, which I'd never heard of, but that was going for $12.
That was early Adult Swim, wasn't it?
I think it may have been, yeah. I was only familiar with C-Lab 2020. 2021, I was like, "Okay, what is this?" Whatever, but you know, whatever. Anyway, I get to the counter, $20. I can live with that. He goes, "Oh, it's $10. Oh, okay. He goes, "No, everything's half price on these." Oh, shit, okay. Too easy. So the Sweeney films cost me $4 for the two films, all sealed up with the nice booklet inside. So, yeah, that was a bit of a luck of fortune there. So, yeah, that's why we're covering the Sweeney film and not an episode, because I don't have the TV series just yet. But before we do, I want to get into a documentary I watched last night on Netflix called I Am Your Father. You guys heard of it?
Is it about Maury Povich?
No, you'd think it would be. No, that's I Am Your Father. Man runs out the door.
No, that, I thought it was You Are Not the Father.
Yeah, you're not the father.
That's what the...
No, it's a Spanish documentary, Spanish-made documentary, sorry, in English. About David Prowse, who played Darth Vader.
I've seen it. I watched it a few months ago.
Okay. Yeah.
Does it talk about like his hammer stuff and?
It touches on it briefly, where he played Frankenstein and the Monster from Hell. Was that the one he played in, John? One of them.
He was
Frankenstein, Monster from Hell, and Horror of Frankenstein, and he's also a strongman in Vampire Circus,
and also the weightlifter in Clockwork Orange.
Yes.
When Alex returns back to that writer's house.
Which is one of the weirdest fucking things.
Yeah, why is there... It's the most homoerotic, you know, tall, good-looking guy lifting weights in his house.
In a movie full of weird, degenerate shit, that is the weirdest and most thing.
Most striking image of this guy lifting weights. But whatever. But it talks about how David Prowse, with the three original trilogy, had a problem with loose lips and had a tendency to spruik off to the media things that were happening in Star Wars films that George Lucas did not want people knowing.
Well, that'll get you executed at Disney these days.
Well, yeah, he's...
They have actors secretly killed for that.
Yeah, they probably do. But he's a persona non grata amongst Lucasfilm and especially George Lucas. And he talks about how there's this Star Wars convention that happens, I believe it's every 3 years, in Essen, Germany. He's never been invited. Yet they have, you know, the guy who played Boba Fett and the guy who played Bib Fortuna as well. I think I'm getting the characters' names right, I'm not too sure. But David Prowse has never been asked. And one of the main things of the documentary is how, when it came to Return of the Jedi, how the unmasking scene and the helmet's taken off, and there's that crusty old Sebastian Shaw.
Yeah, Sebastian Shaw, yeah.
How they didn't want to use David Prowse because he didn't look old enough was the excuse that Lucas gave. So what these guys did was, this guy who did the documentary is a filmmaker as well. They asked him to recreate that scene to finally give him a bit of retribution. I don't know if that's a word you use or...
Closure.
Closure, I guess, yeah. So they rebuilt the whole set of that scene, the makeup, the costume, everything like that. But Lucasfilm would not give permission for them to do it. But they went ahead and did it anyway. But they can't allow to legally have it accessible to the public. So they did a one-time screening of it only in a small theater in Madrid, I believe it was, in Spain. So, yeah. But it talks about how Prowse looks like he was set up by somebody within the Lucasfilm camp during Return of the Jedi. How he apparently gave out the information that Darth Vader dies and apparently hit the Daily Mail over in the UK and it was all over the papers there. And, yeah, he was lambasted, if you will. Lambasted, I think the term is, by George Lucas the following day when it came out. But from what they understand, they talked to the initial reporter of that piece, and he goes, it wasn't David Prowse, it was somebody else, just like a grip or a hired hand inside the Lucasfilm camp there who did it. So, yeah, interesting documentary as well. Very interesting.
I'll have to check it out. Sounds good.
Yeah. Well, it's on the Australian Netflix. I don't know if it's on the American one. It may be there.
It is. It's there.
It's there? Okay. Well, and
it should be there. That's where I saw it a couple of months ago.
Oh, okay, yeah. It's a short run. It's an hour and 20 minutes, so it's a... You'll breeze through it really quickly. And it's just interesting. He comes across a really humble guy. You know. I mean, you kind of feel sorry for the guy at the end because George Lucas has treated him like shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unnecessarily.
That he has.
Yeah. I think people don't realize.
He treats everybody like shit.
Yeah, I was going to say, people don't really understand that George Lucas, I bet you, would be a real tyrant when he wants to be, you know?
Yeah. I've on the assumption he's a bit of a dick.
Mm. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, I Am Your Father. Good documentary. I'd recommend it. I'd give it seven crusty old actors who shouldn't have been there out of 10. Yeah. But yeah, go check it out. It's a good watch.
Give it seven homoerotic weightlifters.
I'll give it seven Green Cross. What's that thing, John?
The Green Cross Man.
The Green Cross Man, yeah, which is like a safety commercial for children crossing roads.
Well, it's interesting you say that because I remember I bought a Starlog the year that Return of the Jedi came out, and Prowse was giving interviews saying that he was mad that he wasn't revealed as Darth Vader, and one of the letters was from England, and they said it would have made that movie the laughing stock of England because he's over here, he's known as the Green Cross Man. Like, we all know him as that, and of course this is America, we didn't have YouTube, so we didn't know about this stuff, so it was pretty funny. But they said, you know, he was the Green Cross Man in England. There was no way in hell he was going to be Darth Vader. Yeah, he was mad because James Earl Jones dubbed him, but he sounds like a hick, you know, like, what, you yeah. think that's gonna, I mean, Darth Vader's not gonna
sound like there that. Is a Star Wars documentary out there called, oh no, it came with the trilogy box set that came out in 2005, I think it was. There was like a bonus disc with a 2.5 hour making of, and they do show some raw footage of the making of Star Wars and David Prowse's voice when he says, "You are part of the Rebel Alliance," and it just sounds like this, you know, English country guy trying to be, you know, forceful upon Carrie Fisher. It's just, yeah, I can see why they put James Earl Jones. It is far more menacing, his voice.
Yeah,
yeah, but yes, I recommend that. And I watched another one as well.
It's worth watching.
Yeah, I watched another one as well called After Porn Ends, which is about all these former adult film actors and actresses who shows what their life was like afterwards. And yeah, there's some broken people in there, I tell you. My goodness.
I think I've seen that one. Is it the one where like one of them is just playing golf?
Yeah. And he's living on past glory, sitting there shirtless all the time. He's like, there's just this fucking rug of white hair on his chest. He's like, dude, put a shirt on, please.
Yeah.
Those
people are so delusional.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess when they're put on a pedestal of, being deemed as goddesses, I'm talking about the women more because it's, really.
Yeah.
It's men are the ones who watch it. Yeah. I guess they get this sort of insane idea. But anyway, let's get over to Sweeney.
Yes.
You'd never heard of this, Hunter. At all, apart from this series. I mean, apart from, I know you've heard of the remake, but never.
You know, I mean, I knew that it would. I knew it existed.
Right.
So, yeah.
I knew about that. I was aware of the Sweeney being a TV show, and there were movies. But you know, I became aware of it because of the remake with Ray Winstone and whatever the hell that kid's name was who was with him in it. So that's about the extent of it.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, the plot's pretty simple. It's just a death inside the cabinet of a hooker who's sort of a for rent type of thing. What is she, like an employee, they call her?
Yeah.
It's basically got this guy about to make a deal with OPEC, I think it is, and wanting to bring down... And his American counterpart, played by Barry Foster from Frenzy, putting on a very, very bad American accent. It was... Just a quick tangent, I've never understood why they just couldn't get an American actor over there.
Weird about that. They only use either British actors that specialize or American expats that you would see pop up in everything from Jason King to Doctor Who to when they needed an American.
Well, can I posit a conspiracy theory?
Of course.
Okay. The British do not want they do not want any American actors, especially working at all. They're trying to take over acting roles in Hollywood. You know, they force their way in here, taking our jobs in Hollywood that should go to American actors. And they take up American roles, and they hide their identities as Brits, and they pretend to be regular, good old-fashioned Americans. And
that's because they're better actors, that's why.
One thing they're trying to do is they try to keep Americans from working in Britain. They say nope, no work for you here either. They're not trying to help anyone's career. They just want to run the whole acting ring. You know what I'm saying? Anybody?
Well, yeah, because all the theater things, classically trained theater actors, they just
or maybe they're just better. I don't know.
They're better. They're way better.
They are way better actors. I mean,
I think that they conspire in these rooms. They have these meetings where they plan this out. Listen. They put chemicals in the water that turn the freaking frogs gay, and they turn Americans into bad actors so that the British can take it over. This is Britain, their empire, the old empire waned, but let me tell you that imperial British spirit is still alive, and it is trying to conquer the acting industry and subjugate the world's acting peoples. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's anybody? Because they're better. We just said that. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
They're just better. I'm sorry.
I'm trying to come up with an
analogy. Okay, I watched the first episode of that Hap and Leonard based on the Joe Lansdale books. And it took literally a while for me to realize it was James Purifoy playing Hap. And he was, it's a British actor basically playing a hick and doing such a good job. I forgot that, he's actually British, because American actors, when they do it, are actually way too self-conscious about trying to sound like hicks, and they overdo it. And he was kind of underplaying it, and it worked. I was surprised.
Oh, yeah, American actors.
The show's not that great. I think it's very slow-paced, but I thought James Purifoy was terrific at it.
Oh, no, James Purifoy was great. No, in all seriousness, one reason British actors are great is that they understand accents better than Americans
do. No, they really do.
Whenever you have American actors playing Southerners, they're like, "I'm from the South." Ham it up, and they act like these Southern stereotypes that they've seen on The Daily Show. Whereas British actors, they have a very keen understanding of accents because, England isn't just, the British accent. You have your Liverpool accent, your Scottish accent, all these different accents around there. You got your different accents throughout the Anglosphere,
Well, Australia. I mean, I hate to invoke this, but that's like when you go back to Rob Zombie's 31. Right.
Oh,
jeez. The actor Richard Brake, who played that, what was it, Psycho Head? Was he the one?
Yeah, he's like the lead evil clown character.
He's British.
Okay.
Yeah. But you wouldn't think it, you know, when you're watching that film.
I did not know he was British. See, they blend in. They blend in. They try to trick you, you know.
They're not Islam, mate. They're just actors.
When you say to a British actor, hey, you're British, they get very upset. They don't like that.
Yeah, probably these days. I don't think back then they would. These days they want to fucking, as soon as they get half a chance to get out of Britain. Well, then again, sorry, British listeners, but I can see why they want to get out of Britain.
Yeah, because, you know, they don't want to go back there.
When you got a cunt like Sadiq Khan or whatever his fucking name is as your mayor, you want to get the fuck out of there quick.
Well, and, you know, the Donald Trump's got it all wrong. You know, he's focusing on Muslims and Mexicans. He should be focusing on the British, you know? They're the problem. They're the real problem, you know?
No, I don't know. You're fucking way full of it. But anyway, so the story's pretty basic. Girl dies. There's a cover-up. Special branch were all involved, and John Thor, who's a fantastic actor, plays Jack Reagan, is doing an investigation as a favor for a friend, who his friend ends up getting gunned down in a car, like a scrap car yard, wherever it is, and basically a marked man, but so it's a pretty basic plot. Watch it for yourselves, but. I thought the depiction of the police in here was about as genuine as I've ever seen in any TV show or any film ever. Because if any cop in, say, an American show is a heavy drinker, they're corrupt. Okay? Or they won't be portrayed as heavy drinkers. But yep. in this film, my God, how much booze they go through. Fucking chain smoking like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah.
I just thought the picture, I mean, it's just so fucking spot on.
Oh, yeah. Like in America, if you show a drinker in a cop show, that's going to be the cop that gets killed or turns out to be on the take or, you know.
Or what they'll do is they'll emphasize that he's a drinker.
Or he'll be the one where the person goes, hands up, don't shoot, and he shoots him anyway, you know?
Yeah. It's like, that's because he couldn't let go of the bottle. And here, it's like, you know, they're completely competent cops. They just smoke and drink a lot.
Yeah, exactly. But as I was saying, if they have a cop, say, an American show, who's drinking a lot of whiskey, there'll be this one scene where he's on his own, and there'll be slow mood music in the back of him struggling with the booze. Look, these guys here are just like, to the bar. Knock back a few scotches, a few cigarettes, talk, you know, natter on a bit, and that's it. Move on to the next scene. It's not a focal point, is what I'm getting at. And it shouldn't be, because this is the way... I just think this depiction of the cops is very organic. I'm not saying all cops are drunks. I'm not saying that.
It's a human trait.
It really is. I mean, you're in a job...
Drink and go to their jobs. That's what they do.
And they're in a job where they're seeing dead bodies just about every day, or they're dealing with things that people shouldn't see. And
yeah,
a lot of them are going to have an alcohol, you know, if not so much a problem, but they're going to be drinkers,
right?
Or running late, like you see at the start of the film.
And let's not forget that if you are a cop, you are a person who is probably maybe not attracted to, but you're more willing to throw yourself into high-intensity situations than other folks.
Of course.
People who are like that also tend to be to be on the spectrum for alcoholism.
Of course. They're not going to sit back and drink, you know, white tea and meditate. It's not going to happen.
No. Warrior cultures like, you know, the Scottish, like Native Americans, they have a very, very high tendency towards alcoholism. And, like, they've noticed that there's a correlation between,
Are you saying that all Native Americans are drunks?
Well, I mean, yes, that is what I'm saying.
you're such a racist asshole.
Hey, there's numbers, you can look it up. But anyway, But no, so like if you're a person who's going to be a cop,
chances are you're probably going to drink more than, you know, somebody who's, you know, than just being somebody who's who would choose that profession. You know, you're probably going to drink more. That's just a, you know, a way of looking. It's just realistic.
But these days, if they did it on the show, it'd be like, oh, I like this show, but why does this guy have to drink so much?
I've noticed that there's a very, you know, they you know, you don't see stuff like drinking and smoking in movies anymore unless it's associated.
No, they've cut it right back. You know?
Yeah, it has to be associated with bad behavior. Like, you see it a lot in Mad Men, but, you know, they're also, like, all misogynists and stuff, and it's supposed to be just like the time everybody drank and smoked all the time and grabbed women's asses and stuff.
Well, it goes back to that line from Adventures of Ford Fairlane, where that guy goes, dude, it's the 90s, who smokes these days? Well, nobody smokes anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Which is true. Like, they really cut that shit back from films and television back then.
And, you know, I think there was something that was there was something about seeing those images in media that made it glamorous. Like, I don't listen to Corolla and Drew that much anymore, but I was listening over the weekend just because I needed something apolitical to listen to. just because, you know, this is a crazy weekend. And Drew was saying that when he was a lot younger, he'd be treating old patients, and he said that there were women who, you know, had drank martinis and smoked cigarettes their whole life, and he would tell them they need to think about quitting. But he said it was like devastating to them. They were like, no, I am a part of my being a woman is drinking a martini, smoking, you know, like that's part of, you know, my idea. You know, it was like he was telling them to like cut out part of their identity. And I think it's because, you know, that was what was considered like glamorous. You know, the image of the woman drinking martini and smoking beer is a very glamorous image.
Oh, God, you've only got to watch just the old James Bond films to see that, you know?
Oh, yeah, James Bond's smoking in those early movies. You know, he's drinking martinis and smoking, you know?
What Brosnan was doing with GoldenEye was he had boasted that they weren't going to show Bond smoking. Like, he made that a point. And then he criticized Timothy Dalton for playing Bond too politically correct. And then he said, oh, but I'm going to be the first Bond that is sure to wear a condom and doesn't smoke.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Because I thought Timothy Dalton kind of made a point to, like, bring back Bond smoking cigarettes.
He did. And they actually had a warning in the closing credits. Cigarettes are not good for you or something, like, at the end. Bonds to kill. Like, cigarettes are, or Surgeon General has warned Americans that cigarettes are maybe hazardous for your health and stuff. I mean, there was, like, a cigarette warning. This is the first thing you saw, too. It wasn't James Bond will return. It was, it was some cigarette warning. It was stupid.
Oh, that was like Kiss. They had done on their Hot in the Shade album about the use of condoms. I'm like, what the fuck, Kiss, really?
Yeah, jeez.
Ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was all part of the AIDS panic of the 80s, the heterosexual AIDS panic that never actually arrived.
Which you can only get if you screw them in the butt, but whatever.
Right. And, of course, all these straight porn stars who had unprotected sex with thousands of women never had AIDS.
No. Plant in the butt and you're gone. They'd never learn. Yeah.
Yeah, the ones that died were the gay ones. You know?
Yeah, the ones that did gay porn or something.
Yeah, the John Holmes guys and stuff, you know, lied about their past.
Yeah. Okay. But, yeah, so anyway, that was the observation I made about the Sweeney was... just that I thought the authenticity of the cops in this show, that was all. But yeah. I want to hear from you two what you thought of this film. John?
I enjoyed it because it didn't do... It seemed like just a rougher version of the TV show. Instead of being, hey, we're going to send the cops to Paris and they're going to get involved in a case because it's a movie. You know, it wasn't anything goofy like they would do in America.
Doesn't that happen in the second one? Isn't the second one like to go to the Mediterranean or something?
Yeah, I may not care for that when I watch it. So, but it was just like a rough episode of the TV series. It didn't even seem to have a bigger budget. There wasn't anything extended about it or more expansive than what I would see on the TV series. But I like the edge, and it kind of ranks with like 70s cop movies. Like we watched The Enforcer just a couple of weeks ago. And it kind of reminded me of that. Like,
oh, it's better than The Enforcer, I reckon.
Yeah, it is a better film. I would agree with that. It's, but they're not supermen. you know, when they get into fights and when they have their violent incidents and stuff, like they're running from a cop with an Ingram Mac-10, so instead of having some drawn out shootout with them, you know.
Yeah. And also that's
because if a cop's only got like a pistol, if he's only got a revolver, he's not going to get in a shootout with a guy with a machine gun. It's just not going to happen.
Well, there was one thing I saw in this film. I don't think I've ever seen in another police drama, or even a film for that matter, is the checking in and out of guns.
Yes.
I've never seen it where they said, right, this serial number, you. This serial number, you. Everyone's just always got a gun in them, and it's just, you know, 24/7, right. They got one with them. So, I'd never seen that before. One of the things in this that was really fucking bizarre was the alcohol poisoning of Reagan.
Yeah, that was weird.
Fucking weird. It's like, just to lay it out there for the people who don't know what we're talking about, there's a scene where John Thor's character of Reagan gets pulled over by these other two cops, and they grab him for being drunk and disorderly, whatever it is. He's had a few drinks, and then they take him to this place, stick him in a chair, and then put a funnel down his mouth and just continue to pour a complete bottle of scotch down there. Get him really drunk, throw him back in his car, and he tries to drive back home and smashes through a food stand and gets arrested and suspended off duty for that. But that was one of the more sort of inventive ways, instead of just, you know, having him being set up some way and then next thing is he's in the office getting blasted and suspended for no real reason. At least we see the reason why he's suspended for this. But, Hunter, what do you think of it? I'm gonna guess you probably didn't like it a great deal.
Well, I just couldn't get into it. I did think that it had a good style when it came to like the overall feel, and I thought the action was kind of explosive and, you know, exciting to watch.
Yep.
In that sort of 70s way, kind of had that, you know, Friedkin feel a little bit.
Oh, very much.
Yeah.
But I just had a hard time getting into it. I think it might have been because it's not the movie. I'm going to say it's not. It was me. I was just, you know.
It was not the movie you were anticipating, so.
Well, it was not what I was anticipating, number one. Number two, I'd had kind of a day. You know, I kind of had a day where I was, like, pissed off. You know, so I wasn't.
What happened,
really,
boobies? What's the matter?
No, I wasn't.
Let me guess. Wait. Girl trouble, right? It's always girl trouble.
Yeah, it is girl trouble.
There you go.
But when I wasn't pissed off. I was just like, ugh. Like, you know, bad taste in my mouth.
Hey, John, Hunter was like, yeah, the bitch died at the start. It's starting to get better this film. Now more women are going to die in this fucking movie.
Yeah, satisfying my bloodlust. No, it was that plus, like, I don't know. I was just weekend fatigue. I don't know. I just had a hard time getting into it. But, you know, it was one of those things where my mind wasn't really on the film. You know, like, I almost didn't come on the show because I was like, I don't really have much to add, and I don't think I'm going to be able to give a fair assessment. And, you know, I'm just going to have to try to watch it again, you know, with knowing what I'm getting into and, you know, just being in a better mood. Like, I think my mind was just somewhere else, you know, and so I was kind of like, you know, wow, wait, what's going on? You know?
Yeah.
And it is a movie where you need to kind of pay attention to the ins and outs and stuff.
Yeah, and not have your mind wander about some woman who's, you know, ruined your weekend.
Yeah. It wasn't.
Does she listen to the show at all?
No.
Oh, you fucking cunt!
No. No, it wasn't anything. It wasn't anything big. It's one of those things where you have a.
That's what she said.
You have a, yeah, right. That's pretty good. That was quick. I like that. I went on a date and it was just a crappy date. That's all.
You should have played it at the Sweetie.
Yeah, I know. No, it was one of those things where I was like, what the heck was that girl's problem? You know, just
you should have said to her, look, it's just going to be me, you, a bottle of Jack Daniels at a funnel tonight.
Right. No, I actually had like a bunch of date this past week and weekend, but the one I had today was like, ooh, it's really bad.
Really?
Yeah.
Was she a good-looking girl?
All right.
All right?
Yeah.
Got tattoos?
No.
Wow. Okay.
None that I saw.
No, not that you got to see anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Mm.
Oh, well, that
but
sucks.
No, it was one of those dates that's just, like, weird, the vibes are weird. But it's not significant girlfriend. It was one of those things where it's just, you're like, what was that, you know?
What did you do, go to a movie?
Oh, yeah.
No, we went to an art festival.
An art festival?
Yeah, in Deep Ellum. It was just, like, a nice, like, outdoor thing to do, walk around. But it was one of those things.
If you're in Deep Ellum, you should have gone to that burger place we went to.
I went by myself afterwards. I was like, I'm gonna go get a burger, but I got it without the bun.
You should have slipped the woman at the counter of that burger place a little note, like her call out note, and said, number 46, the bitch who ruined Hunter's day. Your food is ready.
Yeah, she went with me. I went by myself. I was like, all right, bye. And I was like, I'm hungry. I'm going to go there and, you know, get some food and wash this taste out of my mouth.
The taste of a bad date.
But, you know, it wasn't like, you know.
So how have the other dates gone through the week? You said you had a couple more.
I had one the other day that was really, that was fine. It was good. You know?
But you didn't follow it up?
No. It was just the first day. You know, it was just went for coffee and walked around. It was nice. It's good.
Get in the ass?
No.
Oh, fuck. You need to follow it up, mate. Get some ass. Got to be more persistent, mate. More persistent.
I know, right?
She's probably sitting at home going, why isn't that guy run me back?
Well, no, I, you know. Oh, you know, just wait a little bit. It's fine. Good.
I think it's the last time Anthony will ever make a donation. Yeah, I don't want to hear about Hunter's fucking love life or lack of.
Personal life. Yeah, exactly. Hunter's lack of love life.
Yeah, it'll pick up, mate. Don't worry.
Oh, it's fine. I'm doing quite well. It's all good.
Yeah. Come on, handsome man like you.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm not worried.
No, you shouldn't be. You'll be right.
I'm good.
If John Thor can pick up women who are 1,000-pound a night hookers, you'll be fine, mate.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
you gotta be like a Sweeney, guys. You gotta be like a lad.
Should have said, I'm with Flying Squad, you tramp. You're nicked.
Jason Statham type of thing.
Yeah.
Oh, is he one of the most annoying people in fucking movies, Jason Statham?
You know, Paul Walker died so that Jason Statham could live. That's what Dolly Becker said.
I believe it. But, yeah, you should. I told you, you should just move over here. You won't have any women problem then.
Oh, I'm sure.
I'm telling you now. I'm fucking telling you now.
When I went to Scotland, I could not believe it.
Scottish birds are, yeah.
Well, you know.
You're like, when's Sunday lunch? When are you having Sunday lunch? On Friday, you dumbass. When do you think you're having Sunday lunch? Oh, we've got faces like Gordon Ramsay. Yeah. I've only ever seen one bird from Scotland who I thought, fucking hell, she's good looking. That's the woman who played Nina from Nina and the Neutrons, the kids show.
I don't know that one.
No idea what I'm
talking. You don't get it, John? You never seen
it? No, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I've got to look up her name, but fucking hell, she was good looking. And that accent was alright as well. Nina and the Neurons. What am I saying Neutrons for?
I can't recall a good looking Scottish.
Katrina Bryan. That's her name,
Yeah. Katrina Bryan.
Yeah, Katrina Bryan. Yeah, nice looker. Especially you got them pigtails, like, oh yeah, I could hang on to those.
Oh yeah, she's pretty. Awesome.
Yeah, good looker.
Good.
But anyway, I don't know how much this was taken out of TV shows and turned into the film, or if it was written directly as a film, as a spin-off for the TV. I don't know. But I thoroughly enjoyed it anyway. It was a tad slow to start. John, what would you say? I asked John because, honey, you're unfamiliar with the professionals. What would you prefer more, professionals or Sweeney?
I like professionals more because it's more escapist. Like, you have to be in the right mood to watch something real gritty and realistic like the Sweeney. And you can't watch a bunch back-to-back because you'll probably be depressed, because I did it. And it doesn't put you in the best mood. Because it's a pretty dark show.
Yeah.
The professionals, it's more like, you know, it's more like James Bond as two cops or something. You know, it's more, I mean, it's still a tough show and it's gritty, but it's more fantasy oriented.
And a hard drinking Scotsman is there.
Right, right. And well, also it'd be like Bodie had a romance with a, you know, a singer or something, and she's coming back to England. Or, you know, it's just like they have these odd stories implying they have these great past lives before they were the professionals. And there's nothing like that in the Sweeney. They're cops.
No, they're cops, and that's all basically their life is, whereas professionals, there is a life outside of the...
Right, they're all like Matt Helm, you know? They're like Matt Helm or Derek Flint or something. It's more like, it's a little more James Bondian.
Yeah, it is a little...
I mean, The Professionals is a spy show, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, the more of them I watched, I feel more like it's more like a domestic spy series.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I mean, you'd always go back to our Professionals episode. Haven't heard it since we did it. But, you'll get all our thoughts on it over there.
Right.
But would this film encourage you to actually watch Sweeney TV series?
Yeah. Yeah, I was actually, after I watched it, I looked into... pricing the complete series for when I need to replenish the bookshelf of discs I haven't watched yet. So I'm still burning through those. And when I'm done, I'm probably going to look into buying stuff like the Sweeney.
Yeah. What price were they asking for the Professionals box set?
It's very buying them in the U.S. versions are like $25 a season for series. Like I said, the British box set, you can buy the complete series on DVD for about $40.
Cool.
Yeah, so it's hard. You have a region-free player. That's what we always say.
Cannot stress that enough. Seriously, you have a region-free player. It's like
essential ownership.
2017. There is absolutely no need to not have a region-free player.
Yeah, I have one, and it's great.
Yeah.
Prices are better on a lot of foreign films on DVD. And
oh, my God.
Some American films, like the Burt Lancaster thriller Scorpio, directed by Michael Winner with Alain Delon.
Yep,
that is out of print in the U.S. to get the MGM DVD, which is no great shakes, would cost you about $40, because it's out of print. But in England, it's like £3.
Jeez,
because their version is still in print, or they—I think they may carry a Spanish DVD version, but it's in print and it's like £3.
Damn. That is cheap.
So what are you going to spend your money on, which is like, I don't know, $6 US or something like that?
Yeah. And all the money you spend on, all the money you save on buying them from the UK, buy yourself a region-free player. You can get them in the US easy enough.
Yeah. It's great that companies like Umbrella usually try to make their stuff kind of region-free.
Yeah.
I'm not really saying it, but it is terrific and essential to own a region-free player. It's if you like the weird stuff, if you're perfectly happy just streaming Netflix and not owning DVDs, no, it's not for you. But if you're still into buying the stuff and checking out the weird stuff, you can't always see the push of a button, get a region free player.
Period. I just got in the other day in the mail the Adrian Mole series, The Secret Diary of and The Growing Pains of, on one box set, 2-disc set, which I haven't seen for I can't think how long, but I know I enjoyed it when it came on back in the mid-80s. It came from outer space in 2D and 3D for, God, like about $7 or $8 from the UK. And the two-disc edition of Fright Night on Blu-ray, which I have the Australian Fright Night one, and it was the cheapie. It was like $8 at the time. Picture's fine, but holy shit, this one they've done with Eureka. My goodness. Looks insane, the quality of it.
Plus the Arrow stuff. There's a lot of Arrow stuff out in the UK that is not domestic US.
Yeah, well, I just think Arrow is probably... I think they're probably one of the best companies out there these days.
No, yeah, there's also 88 Films. It's also doing their stuff. I haven't seen anything yet. But
yeah, but do 88 Films do a lot of special features, though? I don't think they do, do they?
No, they do. They do what they can. Yeah, they have commentaries. And...
Hey, that company sounds kind of racist, John. I don't know if I would support that.
No, that's 1488. Wrong company.
Yeah, 1488 Films. They just really triumph on the will over and over again. And they release Peckinpah's Cross of Iron.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I just think Arrow stuff is just outstanding. I'm starting to I haven't amassed the Arrow shelf that Hunter has, but I'm keeping a close eye on the stuff they do announce and things.
All I own so far is Days of Anger, the Blue Bank Leaf, Kyolano Gemo Western.
I've got that one. That's a good one. I got Dillinger, too. That's a good one.
Yep.
They're putting out a lot of Sonny Chiba stuff now, like the really scarce stuff. They're getting into that, so I'm going to start plucking them down for the, plopping my money down for the Arrows.
Yeah. Yeah, I got the Dead or Alive trilogy coming in.
Oh, why'd you waste time with that? Good.
Oh, I think I like the second movie quite a bit.
Oh, they're so weird. You'll never watch it. He'll have that sucker up on eBay in 3 months.
Ah, I need to sell stuff on eBay. I need to do that.
All right. Well, I don't know what more to bring up about the Sweeney. It's
actually, I wanted to ask you, Stu. Have you seen Z Cars, which is sort of the predecessor to the Sweeney?
I know of it. Have I seen it? Right. Look, I'd be lying if I said I remember it. I know of it, but that's about it.
Yeah,
I think it would be one Dad would have watched for sure.
Yeah. I'm curious about it because every time I would Netflix back when it was, mail, renting DVDs by mail, when I would watch like Doctor Who documentaries on as bonus features, they would always mention that they got the actors were on Z Cars before they were on Doctor Who, and I'm like, what is this Z Cars series? And apparently, I think it's one of the shows where like half the episodes are gone because they'd wipe the tapes and stuff.
I tell you what, would be a good show to do. Are you guys familiar with a show called The Time Tunnel?
I've heard of it.
Mm-mm. No, never seen it.
It's about two guys who invented a time tunnel, and they go back and try and change events of history, like things like, trying to find Jack the Ripper, I think, is one of the episodes. And it was done back in 1966 or something. But I've never seen it, but it sounds fascinating. Sounds like something they could do today, but they'd probably fuck it up if they did.
It'd be all the social justice finger wagging and just.
Oh, I guarantee one of the first episodes be out to would be them trying to stop the death of Martin Luther King, I'm sure.
Right. And some bigot stops them from doing it who's a Republican, and
Yeah.
It's like the young Jerry Falwell stops
him. Yeah, it's a Richard Spencer haircut.
Yeah. Well, the other curious thing was that I noticed, like, one popular British show or import a few years back was Life on Mars. And I feel like the British cop character on that show, I can't recall, but he was a pretty terrific character. The actor did a good job playing him. It's totally based off the Sweeney Cops.
Really?
Yeah. He just seemed like, wearing ugly suits by today's standards. Back then they would have been normal. Smoking and drinking and stuff, although not to the level that they do on the Sweeney. The BBC has its limits, I guess, in today's portrayals. But I felt like that character was based on the Sweeney Cops. He's got the mutton chop sideburns and the kind of sloppy hair, and he's a mean, like, tough cop.
The one thing that I found really interesting in this film, or quite shocking, was when I did a bit of a checkup on John Thor. He was only 34 when he did this movie.
Good lord!
He looks like he's about fucking 55.
All these guys look like my dad's age.
Yeah, I want to take a bet. He was a bit of a heavy, hard living, heavy drinker. That guy.
Yeah, something like that.
But damn, he was only in his mid 30s when he did this fucking movie. That is fucking crazy.
Never guessed.
Yeah, he was only he was 6 years older than Dennis Waterman in the film, or in real life, I should say. Sorry.
Jeez.
He looks about fucking at least 20 something years older than Dennis Waterman does.
Died at age 60 in
2000. Yeah. So I'd say he lived a pretty fucking hard life.
Hard living, big time. Oh, he was Inspector Morse.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I was going to bring up, he was Inspector Morse. Wow. Probably a show a lot of people remember, you know, younger folks remember who did watch television. Mm-hmm. We go, oh, Inspector Morse. But, of course, a lot of us, old folks would remember him from Sweeney more. But,
Yeah, what a career. And he was on Z-Cars.
Well, there you go. There you go.
Which dates back to the 60s, it appears.
There was one thing I noticed in this film as well. One of the companies that Reagan was trying to track down was one called Media Incorporated.
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that. It was actually a video company called Media Incorporated later on in the 80s.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if that's sheer coincidence or if it's just, you know, they might have nicked it from that.
It's such a generic name.
You're probably right. I'm probably trying to read too much into it than what is really there. But, it was... I just thought, oh, shit, that's a video company that used to have... I think they had the Fulci films as well out. I think they made him release Halloween on video here on VHS. Incorporated. Yeah, the Carpenter one.
Oh, bringing it back to the MMC right there.
Yeah, that's right. But, boys, look, let's rate this thing. Sorry, Anthony, but there's not a great deal about Sweeney. I mean, I enjoyed it, but it's... It was always going to be more about British cop shows and how, and I still stand by this. I think British cop shows are still the best.
I think in terms of reality, you got a point. It depends on if you want reality or fantasy. So
no, I want reality because a cop, you're pretty much in the real life, you know.
Yeah, and American cop shows, like I've been watching the 87th Precinct TV series from the 1960s, and Norman Fell actually plays one of the detectives and. Based on Ed McBain's paperbacks, and Ed McBain wrote a lot of the teleplays, and it's a pretty realistic show. The only problem is it's got the TV-isms you kind of expect that are designed for that format.
Yeah,
you know, like the cop who shoots a criminal that's young, and then he has a huge guilt complex over that, but nobody else gives him shit about it.
Yeah.
Like you couldn't even imagine that in the real world. Now they'd all say the cop was the criminal or whatever.
Oh, of course they would.
But
that all those kids like Sean King and Rachel Dolezal out there protesting.
Right. That mindset did not exist in the '60s, apparently. And the other one I've heard that is fantastic is Naked City. And at least the first 2 years where Sterling Siliphant was writing all the screenplays, and that was like said to be the most realistic and solid cop show on American TV. But it's not seen that often unless you buy the DVD sets or find it on Hulu, and I think even it was yanked off of Hulu not long ago.
I think the only television police drama I've seen from the US that really captivated me, I thought, wow, this is about as close to real life as it's ever going to get, was Hill Street Blues.
Yeah, but even that was, like, I went back and watched the first two seasons, and that's actually a very sitcom-y soap opera show.
Mm. Yeah, well, maybe really I'm being nostalgic about it because it's been a long time.
Yeah, believe me. When I was a kid, I thought the same thing when I was watching because it was hyped as this is the most realistic police drama ever on TV. And when I went back and watched them recently as an adult, I was like, that's not really true. Like, this is just as much soap opera and sitcom nonsense and, you know, goofy characters as anything else. And scenarios that are kind of repetitive and show limited writing. It's still held up as a well-written show, but it had TV formula that kind of dates it. But I'm told Naked City was really the flawless, like, at least the first two seasons are the most realistic cop show on TV.
Yeah.
And Paul Bishop, he had told us that he thought Barney Miller was the most believable. I would actually agree with that somewhat.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, and Bish is a fan of the Sweeney.
Oh, I would believe that for sure.
Yeah, he's seen it. He's from England, so he's actually familiar with this stuff. But I think he's a fan of the Sweeney. I'm sure he'll come and say something to us after this.
Probably say, why the hell didn't you talk enough about the Sweeney instead of other stuff?
Yeah.
Hunter's you know, love life or, you know. But,
well, you have to understand with the show, you're getting the perspective of two Americans. One who's been exposed to a lot of this stuff and the other that's young and still has the time to waste to be exposed to the stuff. And in an Australian girl. So, you know, yeah. That's the viewpoint you're going to get. But I was impressed. I think this movie should rank with the really good cop thrillers of the 70s, but it won't because there's really no following for the Sweeney outside of England.
You've only got to look at the trailer they did, which is on the DVD version, where it says, if you want action in San Francisco, watch Bullet. If you want such and such in New York, well, if you want the revenge of New York, watch Death Wish. And what was it on? The Crime of Marseille, watch The French Connection. But if you want London, it's The Sweeney. It's a really cool trailer. So they're trying to lump in all those big action films of the 70s there. But
well, that's what they all did. Like, if you see the trailer for Shaft, they'll say, badder than Bond, bigger than Bullet, or something like that. You know, faster than Bullet.
Like, bring it was your mother, weird. She'll like it.
Yeah, they don't do that anymore.
Lot left to a trailer.
They don't compare to other product that's similar at all. There's no sense of competition.
There's not one trailer I've seen that's actually captured me and said, wow, that was so original. I haven't seen one. It's just 2 minutes and 30 seconds of cramming as much crap into a trailer as you possibly can to entice people into that opening weekend or that first week, get their money before word spreads that it's really shit.
Yeah, which is pretty much everything.
So like the Serpico, if you've seen the trailer for Serpico, it's just, I think it's 4 minutes of just part of the film. That's it. That's all it is. It is literally a preview. You
know, yeah, they knew how to sell films back then. There were different ways you had to sell those. And like with the Sweeney was basically a regional marketed film. They knew that was not going to get sold to America. It's too British.
Yeah. Yeah. But all right, boys, we better rate this thing, I guess. Hunter, I want you to separate your crappy day away from the film.
Well, I'm just going to abstain from rating it because I can't give it a fair rating.
Okay, all right. So can I rate the film for you? Hunter says it's a 5, but his day's been a 0. Sorry, dude, I'm not making fun. I'm having a bit of fun. That's all.
Just having a laugh.
Having a laugh, that's all. All right, John.
I'd give it an 8.
Oh, wow. An 8. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's really good. It's like, you know, I'd watch it again. It's
okay,
like,
so you'd be inclined to watch Sweeney 2, I'd imagine?
Yeah. Is it good? Is it worth checking
I've
out?
Not seen it yet.
Okay.
I've not seen it.
But I think Hunter needs to, you know, go smoke a fag, have a pint, you know.
Oh yeah, totally. I'm not.
What are you going to do? Just go down. Go down to the pub. you can't smoke the fags in the pubs anymore. So
no, well, not in America.
What? Killing gays.
Smoking.
There's a funny story I can tell after a karate tournament. Hanging out with my uncle and, you know, we're taking photos with our trophies and stuff. And one of the competitors was outside smoking a cigarette. Hmm. And when we walked by him, my uncle, who's kind of his lingo and talk is actually from the 60s. And he passed away last year, unfortunately. Yeah. But he said to the young guy smoking a cigarette, the guy's like a teenager. He goes, hey, son, you were pretty good out there, but you better lay off them fags. Those things will kill you. The guy just looked mystified.
Like, who you calling a fag?
I'm not your mate, fag.
Yeah, man.
Because it didn't really catch on as a slur, I think, until like the mid-80s or so.
No, that's right.
My uncle was not going to be hip to that. You know, he's still calling cigarettes fags.
Well, that's why there used to be a toy, like a candy out here called fags. It used to be literally candy cigarettes.
Oh yeah, we used to have those. Yeah.
Now they changed the name to fads. FADS.
Fads.
Yeah, because there's some social justice warrior group out there had to change it because they didn't like the word fags. So it's just fucking crazy. Even though you got people like Milo running around calling themselves.
Right.
Gay fag. You know,
dangerous fag.
Dangerous faggot. Sorry, yeah. That's the word I was looking for.
I think his career might be done, so.
I, as much as I don't want to say that, Milo's not getting the traction he used to.
Yeah, I don't see much. Don't see that much momentum from Milo these days.
That momentum nosedive really quick. So.
Yeah, but you got to wonder if his book's even going to come out now.
Yeah, I don't know if it is.
I think a company will put it out, but I think it'll be under the radar.
Yeah, probably won't be. Won't be getting the notoriety that would have gotten.
No, it would have been huge if his problems didn't.
Well, it was the number one bestseller on Amazon. It was
Amazon, yeah.
And boy, they yanked that quick enough as soon as the deal was pulled.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
It was done. It was
done. Speaking of declining numbers, anyway, I'll give the sweetie an 8 too, John. I'm with you.
Okay, cool.
Declining numbers. Joss Whedon. How's him Twitter followers going?
Jeez, did he really have that bad of a pop off?
I remember one time he had like 1.9 or 2 million followers. Now he's down to about 170 odd thousand.
Wow, really?
He's had a huge fucking plunge of numbers.
He's annoying.
He's annoying.
He doesn't do anything. He's not making any movies.
His profile picture right now is the brave girl standing up to the bull in Wall Street.
Which aren't like all the alt-right Nazis co-opting that brave girl statue?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I...
Yeah.
Like Lawrence Southern, like hanging off of that statue or something.
Yeah, they're all making fun of it. It's the new "He will not divide us" gathering space for trolls. You know,
in 2 or 3 months' time, that fucking mantra is just going to be ridiculous. It's just going to be so played out. I think people are cottoning on to Trump now that he's not so bad. I mean, where the fuck's Michael Moore these days? Haven't heard nothing from that fat idiot.
He just tweets.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, but they're becoming. They're falling by the wayside. These idiots. That's all.
No, they're completely out of it. I think everything is going in more of the Paul Joseph Watson direction than sort of like Michael Moore or Joss Whedon or these type of people.
Mm-hmm. Well, I noticed there's a lot of other Hollywood types who are starting to shut their mouths a bit because they're getting a lot of pushback against their fucking movies and theaters and whatnot, and that was always going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, seriously, you got a career.
Yeah.
Don't fuck it up by being a mouthpiece for your political agenda, you know? Shut up.
Well, it's like in Hollywood, they're the last to realize that the paradigm shift. They're not picking up on it at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck them. They can go eat a dick.
All right, guys.
All right, boys. Well, I think
we're all tapped out. I do want to say you can visit us at midnightmoviecowboys.com. If you like the show, right hand side, click that PayPal button. Send us some donations. Send us some money. Helps us out quite a bit. And if you're poor, don't want to send us money but you like the show, go to iTunes, rate and review, subscribe. That helps us out a lot. So please do that. And you can listen to us on Stitcher, iTunes, and PhantomSway.com as well.
And yes, Stu. I've been busy teeing up some interviews. One I've already teed up that you guys know about. There's another one I've done, which I don't want to say nothing yet, but this person has agreed to come on and give us a bit of an exclusive.
Okay.
Keep quiet on it.
Your ear to the ground for that.
Keep your ear to the ground. Once I've got more information, the confirmed time and thing, we'll have a bit of a pretty much more of a world exclusive on this documentary that nobody else will have.
Oh, good.
Cool.
Mm. All right.
Well, hopefully we'll get that. All right.
Yeah. All right.
Well, with that, I'm just going to go ahead and say adios if nobody else has anything.
Megadog.
Thank you for listening to the Midnight Movie Cowboys. For more information, go to www.midnightmoviecowboys.com. For feedback, comments, or show suggestions, go to midnightmoviecowboys@gmail.com. Like what you hear? Head on over to iTunes and leave us a review. Hear us on Stitcher Radio. Head over to stitcher.com and download the app. Want to help the show out? Head on over to www.midnightmoviecowboys.com and hit the PayPal donate. We appreciate all donations of any denomination. Find us on Twitter at MMCowboys. Like us on Facebook. Head over to facebook.com. Type in Midnight Movie Cowboys. Hit the like button over there. Want to friend us personally on Facebook or follow us on Twitter? Go to www.midnightmoviecowboys.com and find the links from there on the right-hand side. Thanks for listening. See you all next week.